Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast with your host, Chris Ruggiero.
My name is Chris Ruggiero. Thank you guys so much for joining into my brand new podcast. This, of course, is episode number one. I have so many exciting ideas to bring to this. I've traveled all over the world with my juggling and variety show and met amazing people. These people always have the most inspiring, awesome stories. And I want to use this to bring those people that I meet and bring their stories to you guys, which, you know, otherwise you guys might not ever get to hear them. In this episode, I sit down and talk with my new friends Ty and Trey from a band called The Icarus Account, as well as a slightly older friend, Nash Fung, who is an amazing magician. I'm a big fan of The Icarus Account, so I was pretty excited when I ran into them. I first heard of them around 2008 or 2009, and I was instantly kind of attracted to the sound of their band. They had a cool thing going on, and I thought it was pretty awesome. They recently put out their new album, Girls Like You, so let's check that out. I love hearing stories about how bands started off and how they kind of had to hustle to make things happen for themselves.
When we first started out, you know, it was, we barely had a fan base and, you know, no venue takes you seriously and all that stuff. So we really had to tour based off, we just had to get in touch with our fans and we kind of cut out the middleman, which would be the venue or the promoter. And we would just say, hey, we'll show up at your house. You bring as many friends as you can, have everyone pitch in $5 for gas and give us a place to stay. And it was awesome. You know, we did several tours with that kind of being the backbone of most of the shows. And now it's kind of more of just, we love playing. So we don't really like to have nights off, you know, so bless you. You know, so if we get on a tour and say, you know, it's a 4-week run and, you know, it's nice to have one day off maybe every 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, you need it. Your voice will start to hit up.
Yeah, but if we've got more than that, then we'll just send out a couple Twitter posts or Facebook posts and just say, hey, looking for a house show in these areas. Email us if you're interested. And, you know, I'd say 90% of the time we get
it booked.
Get something booked, which is cool. And it's real intimate and personal. It's been a really fun way for us to get to know our fans over the years.
Yeah, we've definitely... We're one of those bands that, because we don't have a label or someone that's kind of taking the reins for us, we've really got to be out front and really up close and personal with our fans. And most of our fans end up becoming our friends, you know what I mean? Like, we exchange numbers with people, we go out to dinner with them afterwards. I mean, a lot of people make people pay to go out to dinner with them or whatever. It's like, hey, pay me, and then you buy me dinner, and then we can all hang out and whatever, and we're just like, we're friends here. Like, yeah, let's all go get ice cream. You know what I mean? So we try.
Well, I mean, like Ty said, because we don't have a label, we don't have to pretend like we're bigger than we are.
Yeah.
We don't have to put up this front of, oh man, we're this mysterious band that you can only meet if you buy the $50 VIP ticket or something.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, we love making music, and if people are listening to our music, we want to meet them and we want to find out.
We want to connect with them.
Yeah, why they're listening and what they love about it and get to know them as much as possible.
If they take the time to listen to us, we take the time to get to know them. That's basically kind of our thing.
Because when she acts like herself, I swear that she outshines everyone else. But she's been feeling alone and no one's fine on their own, don't you know? She's been wearing gray without a thought of change, and I've been desperately trying to make her see that even when it rains, the sun is still ablaze. And right now in the dark, she is my shining star.
These guys have an awesome attitude and the best dedication to their fans. I loved hearing about how when they were first starting out, where they would create their own shows, where maybe they weren't getting booked at the traditional shows as much, they would go out and do it their own way and, you know, perform literally at people's houses to connect with their fans. You know, I think that's a good lesson, you know, in whatever we're doing. A lot of times, you know, we're looking for other people to do something for us when comes down to we got to go do it ourselves. You know, these guys said, well, maybe we're not getting booked here, so let's hit our fans, hit up our fans on Twitter, and make something happen.
We've had house shows or park shows or whatever. We've been in a city, couldn't find a venue to book us, and then ended up playing for like 75 people in a basement.
And
making all of that
way more money.
We'll walk out with like
way more money than we would have made at a venue.
Yeah, and it's just crazy. You know, and sometimes it works better than
my
venue.
Buddy Nash, who is a magician and an all around great storyteller. And he's been starting to get into doing a lot more colleges, which is kind of where my background is. So I asked him about the experience of getting to go to college campuses and perform for students.
The audience are much more into it than, let's say, a corporate event, because, you know, when you have a corporate event, the audience might not want to be embarrassed on stage in front of the boss or do something wrong on stage. So they're more guarded. But college, man, they just get into it. And the funny thing is, after the show, you feel like a star. They ask you for autographs and photos. I found it fun, and it's kind of funny sometimes because I'm not like a big star or whatever. But that's definitely, I say, it's more fulfilling for colleges.
When you're doing the smaller or close-up shows, I feel like you would probably be more of just, you know, more of like who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're doing a bigger stage show or a college show, you kind of have to maybe put on a bigger personality, you know, it's still you, but larger than life. Do you have anything, how would you, add anything to that about kind of maybe taking it into the side of, you know, getting into character, as they say, before you go on stage for a big show?
That is actually a very interesting question. And believe it or not, I kind of stay the same even if I'm doing a big stage show, and mainly just because the theme of my show, I just talked about myself. You know, I talked about how I got into magic to show, you know, one of the first tricks I did, and then I talked about, you know, my experience moving to America and what I learned, and I got a trick that I did in high school where, you know, I wasn't a big kid, a strong kid, so I have a rope trick, kind of escape kind of trick, you know, like got too strong and tied me up and I got out of it. And then I talk about, you know, my experience in college, how I love psychology. I do a mind reading trick. So my show is not really like larger than life, or it's really just my life story. So I don't know if I necessarily, like prepare my mind for a big stage show, because I'm kind of just talk about myself. So I hope I answered your question somehow.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's a neat idea where you can go on stage and do, you know, a big show, but still stay true to exactly what you are, you know.
Yeah.
Without, you know, you see a lot of performers, I think, try to be bigger than they are, and you can see right through it. You can kind of say, you know, oh, that's weird. You know, I can tell that that's not really them up there. So I think that has some of your appeal, that you're up there kind of being honest, opening up and letting people into kind of your world.
Mm-hmm.
These people a really neat look and neat look into who you are, and that's a pretty good connection to have for the people in the audience.
Yeah, thanks, man. You know, I just, you know, go on stage and hang out and party, you know. Have a good time with them. That's what we do, you know. It's the same thing as you do too, man. I see you perform before, man. You just go there and rock it.
As entertainers, there's so much in our world that the audience doesn't actually get to see. You know, the audience sees the final result of, you know, being up on stage, and they have no idea what goes into, you know, getting that performer to be on that stage through preparing for the show, through rehearsing and learning the actual, you know, whatever the art is, juggling or magic or being in a band, a musician. To the actual business side of getting booked. And I thought that was intriguing to kind of see how different people create their own thing through the business side of things. Nash really hustles more than most people I know. So I asked him a little bit about his process of actually getting booked and getting hired at an event. Maybe you can elaborate this better than I kind of just overheard your conversation where you were talking about meeting one of the people you're going to perform for and kind of going over what you're going to do. Were you giving them a sample? Are you going to go give them a sample of what you do so that they can see what you would do at an event?
Cool. Yeah, for corporate events, basically usually higher paying gigs or weddings, I usually give them like a free 15 minutes demo at their office so they can see what I do, because when you get a client, when you get an email from them, you're not selling a show. You're trying to sell that 15 minutes demo, because that is, from my experience, you know, that gives me the highest closing rate, because they have seen you in person, they have connected with you, and they have seen your stuff live, and you know, that way they have more trust in your show. So I always offer that and always kind of push for it.
Nash has a really cool story, because he moved to America from Hong Kong when he was in high school. This gives his storytelling and his show, his magic show, something that is uniquely him. It's completely his story, and he uses things that happened in his life to present these amazing tricks in his show. And this really gets into some of my favorite parts of my chat with Nash, because he opens up and starts talking even more about his past and, you know, how he got to where he is now.
But yeah, being not from here, when I first moved to America, I was 14 years old. I was in high school. And, you know, high school can be kind of unforgiving. And I talk a little bit about, you know, what primarily got me going back into doing magic was, it might have been like my own insecurity, because I didn't want to be seen as this, you know, awkward, you know, foreign Asian kid. So I try to, you know, learn something to be cool, to be accepted and whatnot. And I see that, you know, a lot of people are insecure about something themselves, but it's okay. It's okay to be insecure about something, because, you know, as long as you accept it, you know, that's just who you are. You know, that's part of life, you know. So it's about knowing what you're insecure about and being okay with it. So I talk a little bit about that in my show. And then I also talk about, you know, how if you want to be, I don't want to say successful, because I don't have like all the answers of how to be successful. But what I learned is that mainly, you know, you're going to have to be able to, you know, get used to the fear of uncertainty. And I think you can answer that question as well, because, you know, as performers, there are a lot of times that you just don't know when the next paycheck is going to come, you know, in the beginning of our career, you know. And, you know, and it kind of harkens back to what I first experienced when I moved here. You know, I just didn't know what the hell was going on. But it's okay, you know, like, it's okay to feel uncertain sometimes. And because when I feel like when you feel uncertain, when a situation like that arises in life, it is life telling us that it is time for us to grow, you know. It is time for us to conquer this, you know. I think that's something that I talk about in my show. And then I talk about, you know, something that I experienced in a live show and how magic really, really made an impact on another person. And actually, it's a crazy story where there's an old man who has Alzheimer's disease, you know, but he loved magic back in the days. So watching magic that night, it helped him ignite something in his brain, and he started remembering some of his old memories. So that was some crazy thing that happened in my show, and I always talk about that to show people that you can always make an impact on other people.
Yeah, do you have any other connections to, you know, you had that guy who, you know, had a reaction. Have you ever had any other kind of significant reactions when people see your stuff where it invokes some sort of emotions or anything that people really connected from what you've done?
I guess one would be that a couple of years ago, a wedding planner called me because a guy wanted to propose to his girlfriend, and the video was actually on my website. You can see it. So that was a very special one where I was in email with the girl's friend. Actually, let me back it up. Let me explain to you how it happened. Okay, her friends are all in on it. They were just gonna go out in town, have a girls' night out, and then I will act like I know one of the friends from college, and we just chatted, and then she'll be like, "Hey, this is my friend Nash from college, and he does magic. So I started doing some magic for the group, for the girls, and mainly cater to the main girl. You know, the, I think her name is, should I say names or is it okay with you? Or I have to say names, you know what, let's do it. Her name is Andrea. So at the end of the day, I made a ring appear on her arm. And then that's when the boyfriend came in, his name is Jason, you know, took the ring, got on his knees, and then he proposed. And they are ever happily ever after. They just have a baby. So
nice.
Yeah, that was a special one.
Yeah, and that's cool. That sometimes makes it all. It's a nice thing too when you can see those where people, you know, they made a choice to, you know, he made a choice to use you to deliver that, and that's awesome.
Man, I'm telling you, man, I have never been more like, you know, nervous about, you know, not dropping something in a show. I was like, this is an engagement ring. I'm like, you better not drop that, or that would be disastrous. But everything worked out great. And the funny thing is, Seattle's a small town, man. Like, just a couple of weeks ago, I did a show at a private party. So one of the girls from that group was there, and she recognized me. And they still talk about it. So it's really special, you know, to me, to be able to make that kind of impact on someone else's life, doing what we love. So it's a privilege, man. I think that's a privilege.
Yeah, so that's awesome. You make some connections like that for other people. How about for yourself, as far as, you know, connections that you've made? Vice, I don't want it to sound too, you know, too cheesy, but, you know, right. I think a lot of, especially younger people, you know, in colleges, another great thing about doing colleges is you can connect with these people who are, you know, kind of figuring things out in their life at the moment. So as somebody who, you know, did something that was very tough, you came here to, you know, a different country, kind of built your own thing and did things your way. You know, you're not really answering to anybody. You did exactly what you wanted to do in the way that you wanted to do, which is, you know, basically the dream of everyone that such a small amount of people can actually accomplish. So say there's, you know, a high school or college or any age person really trying to figure out that. What words of wisdom do you have for someone that's, you know, trying to figure that out and trying to push their way into their own whatever
wow.
they're trying to do?
Wow. All right. Wow. That is a very tough question. And you're
and
right.
Just,
because...
And just go with it. Go with the flow and see see where it takes you.
All right. Yeah. I don't have all the answers, obviously. And I probably should formulate my thought better before I even say something as important as that. But I think the number one thing I always live by is, as cliche as it sounds, I always go with the Jimmy V quote, you know, don't give up, don't ever give up, you know, because I feel that if you want to do something in life, man, you know, the only way you lose is if you quit, you know, it's like a marathon, you know, how, if you're running against other people, how can you lose? The only way you lose is you drop out of the race. Because it's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. You can, you know, get back in the race and win or whatnot. So don't ever give up. And the other, it really is to make connections with people. You know, you and I can attest to that, man. It doesn't matter how talented you are. In this world, you're going to need other people to help you. You know, so just be as genuine and, you know, engaging and get to know people, you know, because, you know, I think a lot of my success came from, you know, people that I've touched throughout my life and people that I've known in college and they're giving me great advice. A lot of my friends now are actually advisors for colleges and they give me great advices on a lot of things and sometimes even refer me to their student activity board. So like I said, you know, make the connections early. And going back to what I said earlier, you know, one thing that I learned as an entrepreneur is, like I said, you really have to adapt this fearlessness of facing uncertainty, you know, of being like almost have to embrace how uncomfortable it is to be uncertain because no one has all the answers, you know, it's all a trial and error, you know, a lot of people never make a move because they're not sure what's going to happen. Like, you know, you see a cute girl in a club, but you never made a move because you're not sure if she's going to say no or not. So don't let that ever happen to you in your pursue of your dream. Don't be like, what if it doesn't work out? What if I, you know, can't make it happen? Then I have to go back to a 9-to-5. Well, if you never try, then you never know, you know? So I think that's some of the biggest thing that I learned from being a magician, a full-time magician.
You know, almost that painful feeling of uncertainty when you don't know something, you know, how something's going to turn out, or, you know, is crippling, you know, for most people. And some people never even get to the other side of that wall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I do it all. I have to, basically every time I walk out on stage, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. You know? But then as soon as you're out there, that's all gone, you know, and then that feeling is like, oh man, that's, what if I would have, you know, it would have been really easy. The easiest thing for me would have been just to not do this.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you see that, you know, when you break through that wall, what the, you know, the endless possibilities that are over there. And then that gives you steam to do it again and keep pushing forward and find new walls that you have to break through. So I think that's a great take home.
It's all a learning experience, you know. You can either you succeed or you fail, you still learn from it. So
yeah.
The only way you lose is if you don't try. That's the only way you lose, you know.
Have any final words of wisdom for the kids?
A book, Chris Ruggiero, for a juggler. He's amazing.
That's not going to work, I don't think.
That's not going to work? then that'll be it, man. Yeah.
You know why? Because you said, I'm a juggler, and people hate juggling.
What the hell? Okay, well...
You have to disguise it as...
All right, what the one-man variety show.
There
the one-man variety
that,
show.
That slightly helps.
All right. Well, how you market yourself then? Let me know, man.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
All right, my man.
Still embracing the uncertainty.
Sounds good, brother. Sounds good.
Wow, that was some great stuff. Through everything from the guys in the Icarus account talking about creating their own shows and creating their own market through doing house shows to some of those awesome stories that Nash had and, you know, some of the... take-home things that I really loved were when he talked about getting used to the fear of uncertainty. You know, and I think that's relevant to anyone, whether you're in entertainment or, you know, whatever your job is, or if you're a student, you don't know what's going to happen. So getting used to and then moving on to embracing how uncomfortable it is to be uncertain and knowing that, you know, you can make things work no matter what happens is some pretty solid advice that will make things in your life go a little bit smoother. And then Nash talked about, he had some advice, said, you know, don't ever give up. And, you know, as cheesy as that sounds, it's very, very true and important. You know, I've can vouch for that in different things in my career that have been very awesome, and it was just a matter of being persistent and being there and showing up is what makes the biggest difference. Make connections with people. Again, it sounds like cheesy and simple, but that is where you make progress through other people. You can't, no matter what you're doing, you can't do it by yourself. You need other people to help you. You need to help other people. Make connections with these other people and be genuine about it. So thank you guys so much for listening. Drop me a line and let me know what you think. I'm still trying to figure out how exactly I want to present this. Let me know if you like the more of the real-time interviews where I'm just chatting, or more of breaking up clips into kind of more of the highlights. And that'll help me move forward. And I'm not sure what day this is going to be released, but we'll figure that out. You can also let me know that, which day you know, prefer podcasts to be released that help you, you know, get into your weekly schedule, if it's on weekends or the beginning of the week, etc. Drop me an email at onemanvariety@gmail.com. That's spelled out onemanvariety@gmail.com, like the One Man Variety Show. That's my show. This is my podcast, the Chris Ruggiero podcast, but my show is the One Man Variety Show. My email is onemanvariety@gmail.com. And let me know if you have a specific guest that you would like to, you know, some musician or entertainer or someone interesting that you'd like me to sit down and have a chat with. And I'll hit them up and convince them to share their story. All right, guys. Thank you to the Icarus account, Ty and Trey, and my buddy Nash Fung. Catch you later.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero podcast.
When you say, I love you always. You got me feeling like it's more than just a feeling when you. You got me feeling like it's more than just a feeling when you. When you say, I love you always. You got me feeling like it's more than just a feeling when you. You got me feeling like it's more than just a feeling.